You're listening to Penny Johnston with ABC Baby Talk Podcast.
How do you describe what it's really like to be pregnant? How do we even begin to understand one of the most thrilling, challenging, and alien experiences of all, being pregnant? How do you describe what it's like to grow a new human being inside you? When Chitra Ramaswamy discovered she was pregnant, she wanted to read a book that did a bit more than just explain why you need to take your folate tablets and what size your baby was at 26 weeks. And because she couldn't find such a book, she really had to get down and write it herself. Her book, Expecting: The Inner Life of Pregnancy, Chitra takes us through the works of poets and writers and artists Mary Shelley, Sylvia Plath, Frida Kahlo and Margaret Atwood. It's an incredibly interesting book, beautifully written, and goes pretty close to explaining one of the most extraordinary and ordinary of human events. I was lucky to be able to speak with Chitra about writing the book from the BBC's Edinburgh studios. Chitra, tell me about writing this book.
It's such a funny thing, because in some ways I was not a person who was, you know, unusually interested in this experience, and I certainly wasn't somebody who would necessarily pick up a book about pregnancy and birth just for the pleasure of reading it. But when I became pregnant, it did occur to me that this experience has been so sort of silenced and obscured, and I knew so little about it. And you know, by this point I was in my mid-30s, I was 34, well educated, a person who was interested in women's experiences, and yet, you know, this one had completely passed me by. And I think I just sort of thought, well, if this book doesn't exist, you must write it yourself, as Toni Morrison famously said. So I thought, what an interesting way to tackle it would be to treat it almost like a structural piece of travel or nature writing. So for each month to become a chapter of the book. And I love the thought of it kind of almost tracking the pregnancy like a journey, like a long distance walk or hike. And, you know, right at the end of it, you would have, you know, the top of the mountain, childbirth.
It's a fantastic book. It's beautifully, beautifully written. And I'm so glad that you turned your attention to pregnancy. But at the risk of sounding like a really mean girl, I think all of us sort of get this, like, oh my goodness, why didn't anyone tell me all of this, you know, the good, the bad, the crazy. You've captured it beautifully, but I'm surprised that all of us have had it take us so much by surprise.
I know. I was surprised too. And one of the chapters of the book, in chapter three, I open an antenatal yoga class where, you know, we kind of would go, and really it was just an excuse for everyone to lie down for an hour because we were so tired and sick, more than actually doing yoga. But at the start, there would be a kind of check-in where all the women would kind of go around and speak about their experiences, how many weeks pregnant they were and what was going on for them. And it was this kind of litany of symptoms, you know, everything from sore hands and feet to weird dreams and nausea and exhaustion and too much hair, too little hair, you know, really strange things. And the thing that everyone kept saying to me, it was almost like a mantra of pregnancy, was, I can't believe I didn't know this. And I just found that absolutely fascinating. And from a kind of writerly point of view, oh, there's really a story here to tell.
All these completely clueless women. Well, I have heard experts, you know, the ones in inverted commas, saying that it's because of the pill, and darn it, birth rates are so low. You know, you weren't born into a family with 13 siblings, and the lady next door wasn't popping out a baby every half hour. So all of us fancy pants first world people never get a chance to really get up close and personal with either babies or the whole process of having them.
That's right. I think that's really key. It's kind of the way that society is structured now. Well, I almost think there's two things going on there. One is the way that the kind of family dynamic has changed. So we don't tend to live with or live close to our parents. So they don't, you know, talk us through our pregnancies. We don't have our mothers there kind of patting our bumps every week. and telling us how to breastfeed. We didn't have relatives around. So you know, at a very practical level, that meant the moment that I held my son when he was born was actually pretty much the first time I'd ever held a really, really small baby. And it was my baby, and I was going to be holding him for many, many years to come. And that was really kind of shocking that I had no experience of that. I'd never changed a nappy before, you know, all these really basic things. And that's true through the pregnancy. And then I think the other thing is a kind of more sort of invisible symptom of the patriarchy, really, and the way that women are just kind of dictated to and lectured at about pregnancy all the time. And we're kind of told, you know, what we should and shouldn't be eating, and what is a reasonable amount of alcohol to be drinking, and what side of the bed we should be what side of our body we should be sleeping on, and how we should birth. And, you know, it's just like this very, like a never ending list of instructions. But nowhere does it really include, you know, how we might be feeling, or how we might be treated, or how might we might think more about death, or we might feel differently about our families. And those were the questions that I found really compelling.
And you've also captured some really interesting sort of outside examples as well in the process of being pregnant, drawing in all those literary threads, which is fascinating.
Yeah, well, I think one of the things that happened, in some ways I was more influenced by that kind of genre of writing, which has become more popular in recent years, hasn't it? This kind of sort of creative type of memoir where you're both talking about your own experience and then extrapolating by looking at, you know, literature and art. And, you know, I suppose it goes back to the likes of W.G. Sebald and the Rings of Saturn. And it's a very particular way of writing that's both kind of, it's very literary, but it's intimate at the same time. And so this was the kind of book that I felt I wanted to write, rather than a kind of what to expect when you're expecting. And the other thing is, you know, I started to think about writing this book when I was pregnant, and I was just so tired and I didn't have much concentration, and I certainly didn't have the energy for writing. So I ended up reading instead, and I tried to seek out representations of pregnancy and birth in literature. And actually, you know, it was a bit disappointing because there aren't as many as you would hope. People are already born in books, or babies are born kind of off the page, or pregnancy is actually not represented as much as you might hope. There's more of it in art. The pregnant woman is a bit of a kind of an artistic figure in the history of art. So I started to hunt out these little examples.
It's really interesting because I was very self-absorbed when I was pregnant, but I found there was another world on the other side of those swinging doors of the birth centre, that when you get home, it's just another thing altogether. And I'm looking forward to the next instalment, in a sense. Has that been as fascinating, or have you just had no time for introspection since you've had to become a parent?
Well, it's funny because in some ways I think pregnancy and birth are so eclipsed by motherhood and parenthood, aren't they? Because it's such a mammoth change, you know. It's one of the great changes of life that we kind of forget those 9 months and the labour, and you get into the business of being a parent, which is just completely kind of shocking and overwhelming.
It's terrible sometimes.
And yeah, and I haven't written about it as much as I maybe thought I might, and I think part of the reason for that is also that you know, my son is now a person in the world. And although we do live in this kind of selfie generation of people posting pictures of their babies and stuff all the time, and that's fine, I'd feel less comfortable about writing about him in very intimate ways as I did about writing about him and my body, because, you know, it's still my body first and foremost. I felt I had more of a right.
So that's the main reason, not just the overwhelm of getting stuff done with a new person in your life?
Well, do you know, funnily enough, it was actually after my son was born that I wrote this book. So as I said, like through the pregnancy, I just read and I thought about it and I made some notes, and I thought that this would be a cool book to write if I ever have a moment in my life to write it. And I told a few people the idea, and they kind of guffawed in my face and said, oh, as if you'll be able to write that. You've no idea how busy you're going to be when the baby comes. And then when my son was about 8 weeks old, I started to write the book, and I wrote the book over about 2 years. So what happened was, instead of going back to work, I took voluntary redundancy from my job in journalism. And so I got a small payout, and I kind of used that money to stay off work and look after my son full time. So obviously I was still working, but unpaid work, and write this book. And in some ways, yeah, it was very hard to do. And I had to find kind of hours here and there when he was sleeping, and make the decision, you know, not to have a shower, but to try and write some of my chapter instead. But in some ways it kept a really strong link to the person who I was before he arrived. And I think that can be really important for new mothers as well. You know, whatever that thing might be, to find some time to be yourself as well, to not be completely kind of swamped by this new role.
I'm in awe, because I think I was barely able to write a shopping list after I became a parent. I found it really tough.
No, it's true though. You're absolutely right. And by the way, I couldn't have written a shopping list. I could write this book because I had always wanted to write a book, and there was some momentum there, and who knows why some ideas stick and some don't, but this one I managed to follow through. But I was your average kind of exhausted, you know, when my son was 6 months old, I fell over and broke my wrist. That's how tired I was. I could still write through it.
And looking back, was there a favourite month in your 9 months of expecting?
Well, it's funny, actually, this morning, just on my bus up to the studio, I had a little read of the book, and I had a little read of chapter 7. Full disclosure here, the reason being that I am currently in chapter 7 of my second pregnancy. Oh. So I'm 7 months pregnant now.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So yeah, I was kind of dipping into it as trying to do it in that distance way of reading it as a pregnant woman instead of as the writer of the book, which obviously is completely impossible because you can only read it thinking, oh God, why did I write that sentence like that? But yeah, it sort of made me remember this particular time of that pregnancy around sort of 7 months, which is when I made my last trip to London for work before the baby was born, and it was to interview the Spanish director, Pedro Almodovar. And I ended up talking to this man on the train who was incurably ill. He had a very rare kind of cancer, and he ended up sitting next to me, and we talked quite a lot on this 5-hour journey to London. And it was just a really beautiful and sad collision of life and death. And I opened the chapter talking about that. And it's not necessarily that it was my favorite month, but it was certainly a very moving moment. And one of those moments in pregnancy where you feel the real kind of privilege of what you're doing, of kind of hosting life, and just how it kind of changes your perception of the world, and it changes other people's perceptions of you as well. Because I am in the curious position of having written a book about it, I've actually bizarrely got this kind of 9-month document of my own pregnancy, so I'm unlikely to ever forget. But yeah, it's every pregnancy is so kind of unique and of itself, that this second pregnancy I feel completely like a novice all over again. I don't feel experienced or particularly good at it. In fact, I think I may be getting worse at it.
One of the reviews of the book has said quite, and I wonder whether it's a statement that you're quite proud of, is it's the only pregnancy book not to mention folate.
Yeah, I love that. And I guess that's a sort of demonstration of how much stuff is written about pregnancy that is about telling women what to do and how to be and how to think and how to birth. And it becomes really exhausting when you're in this experience yourself, and you just want to kind of do it right, and you want to be healthy, and you want to live through it and have a baby, a healthy baby at the end of it. I just think women are unusually vulnerable and fragile. Well, I certainly was, and I am this time around as well. And the last thing you need is someone kind of wagging a finger at you. So I didn't want to write a book, you know, reminding women whether they've taken their folic acid today or not. I really wanted to write a book that was very kind of honest about this experience, and also that kind of gave it the intellectual dignity that I feel it really deserves. I mean, books are written about death, they're written about mental health, they're written about love and war, and all these really defining experiences of life. But where are the books about birth? And I couldn't help but feel that for some reason, because this is a, you know, a woman's experience, we had just been told to kind of shut up about it. So actually, I don't think women do really forget about birth and pregnancy. I think society instructs us to not talk about it.
Chitra, I almost didn't want to ask this question because I'd like to think technically it's irrelevant that you had your baby with a woman, but it's important to acknowledge that there are different ways to create a family.
I mean, in some ways it's irrelevant to the actual pregnancy. My pregnancy is no different to any other woman's, but the kind of construction of our family setup is different. And at some level, I really wanted to document that to show that, you know, modern families or contemporary families or however you want to describe them can be, you know, made up of in all different ways. Mine happens to be I'm a second generation Indian. I'm a Londoner and my partner is a white Scottish woman. And we have a little mixed race English, Scottish, Indian child. And that's what it is. And so our journey, certainly to pregnancy, has been different. But, you know, we now live in times where when you see a pregnant woman, you shouldn't make any assumptions as to whether she's got a husband and 2.4 children. You don't know. She might be a single mother. She might have used IVF to get pregnant. She might be an LGBT person. I think families are made up in all sorts of different ways now, and it's for the good. And the more that we kind of record these stories, the less invisible they become.
With that being the case, has there been any sort of backlash against the book, or has anybody said anything mean, or are they just pretty happy to go along with things?
Yeah, no, I've had no backlash at all, actually. I mean, every day, just out in the world, as a person in a same-sex relationship with a child, we're never seen as a family. It's always me and a friend out with my son, because, you know, obviously he looks a lot more like me than he does my partner, because she's not biologically related to him. So, you know, that can be hard, not being received as a family. But other than that, the actual book itself, in fact, I wouldn't even call it a backlash, but you know, the whole kind of whenever an article or a review or a piece that is written about this kind of subject, you know, you only need to look at the kind of comments below, and it's just always the same kind of response. And it's got nothing to do with my sexuality, actually. It's all about my gender and sex. And it's basically people saying, oh, you know, woman bleating on about her ovaries. It's so boring. It's so self-indulgent. What is there to say about pregnancy and birth? It's just the most boring, obvious thing in the world. You know, she obviously just wanted to make some money, or, you know, just these kinds of comments. I think it's misogynistic, actually. It's, again, a way of stopping women from talking about their experiences, somehow telling them that they're not interesting or significant or worthy enough of analysis or writing. They're not subjects worthy of writing. And that seems to me ridiculous. I mean, this is the reason why we're all here, after all, that we began in someone's body. So it is a story worth telling.
And it's a beautiful literary gallop through pregnancy. Well, not a gallop, I don't know.
It's the last chapter's a gallop, definitely, as childbirth often is, although, you know, I know childbirth can be very slow as well. But yeah, and I did want, actually, quite apart from all of the kind of literary stuff, I wanted the book to be a page turner. I wanted it to read a bit like a thriller, because it is fascinating how a life, the life of the fetus, it just changes so dramatically in just like 9 months. And the woman, you know, the transition from woman to mother is so huge, and it happens in such a short space of time. And there is this kind of forward momentum, isn't there, month to month in pregnancy. It is a bit like a page turner. Experiencing it. And I really wanted, particularly the final chapter, to have that really kind of a thriller feel to it almost.
I had a little cry at the end. I thought it was lovely.
Oh, that's sweet. I had a cry as well. Probably not when I wrote it, but I certainly cried a lot in my labour.
Oh, I can't give away. Well, we have given away the ending. You've got a beautiful son, so it did all work out okay in the end. So hopefully dramatic turn this time round. And thank you so much for talking to me.
Thank you so much. It's been lovely talking to you.
She's fascinating, isn't she? Chitra Ramaswamy and her exploration of the inner life of pregnancy. I'll put a link on the Baby Talk website so you can find a copy of the book. It's just a great read. If you've not joined us online, do take a look at our website. You can find us Baby Talk or ABC Baby Talk in your search engine. And of course, we're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and we've got a great archive of our podcasts on the Baby Talk Pinterest page as well. Do come over and take a look. I'm Penny Johnston, and I will see you next time on Baby Talk.
Baby Talk.